Who the hell is Baseline Bitch about?
Well, it's kind of about us, really. It's and everyone else who feels the same way. You know, it's about just not letting anything get in your way. It doesn't really matter like where you come from, how broke you are. Like, you can still kill it with the rest of them. So it's just about showing up, not meeting like people's expectations, and just doing it for yourself. And, you know, making sure you hit hard when you do.
Do it your own way. Do it your own way, basically.
Yeah, just do it your own way and don't let anyone else like tell you any different. And that's what it's about. So, you know, when you come up against something, we're just like, yeah, we slapped that look right off your face. Like, we show them what's what.
Nice, nice. Now, how did Nova Twins come together? I mean, is Nova Twins is officially just you two, right?
Yeah, and then in live and in the studio, we work with a drummer. Yeah, so Nova Twins, basically, we've known each other for years, and we've been like working musically in like different bands, but under the same household. So we'd often gig together, and then like it was always be like me and Georgia would just be like always kind of gravitate.
We'd leave our other bands and yeah, just be together.
Yeah, like all the time. And then we was just like, you know, we wrote a song. We was like, this sounds pretty good. This is the kind of music we want to make. And then we just kind of dropped everything and thought, this is where we want to. What we want to do, and Nova Twins became official.
Nice. Now you two play guitar and bass as well on the albums and everything else. See, I'm a guitarist myself, so I've got to ask. I've seen pictures of you guys live, and I've seen videos of you guys live and everything. And what's your gear like? Because I noticed I seen what appears to be a Gretsch guitar and a wall bass, maybe.
Yeah, I'll play Gretsch Electromatic. And
I've got a Westone bass, Westone Thunder.
Oh, nice. Oh, yeah, it's like the classic neck through design, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's from the 80s, so it's quite retro.
That's back when
really heavy as well.
That's back when basses were made right, I think.
Mm. Yeah, I don't ever like buy new basses. I feel like the old ones, I don't know, they're more warm and they just play a lot better. Mm-hmm.
You know what, actually, I didn't know it was a Westone. I actually thought it was either a wall bass or an Aria.
No, Westone. Not my 80s. It was made in like Japan or something.
Oh, nice. Now what are you guys using like amps and effects wise?
Amy uses a Marshall.
Use a Marshall, but it's like it's got no kind of no frills. We don't actually like own our own amps yet. We can't quite afford it.
The occasional gig, I hire in like an Ampeg bass amp, but
and then I hire in like either a Vox or a Marshall Valve State or something.
Mm-hmm. Now, how long have you guys been playing your instruments?
I've been playing for about 5 years, the bass for about 5 years. Amy's been playing guitar for about a year and a half, but she's picked it up like sick, so well.
Nice, nice. Now, how would you describe your style to people who haven't heard?
I guess we say,
we kind of think of ourselves as like producers, but we're producing it through our pedals on our instruments. So like, instead of going to Logic and producing something, we feel like we're doing it live on like pedals and kind of doing electronic sounds, but creating it through basses and guitars, which we feel like
it's important for us.
Yeah, it's important also because we're doing everything live and it's not off a backing track or anything.
So we create that sound.
Yeah, and it kind of brings something fresh to the table, like a whole new kind of sound wave.
So everything we do that on the record, we have to be able to do that live, otherwise it doesn't go on the record.
Yeah, there's no synths on the record or anything. It's all off our pedals or whatnot. Mm.
Really? So there's no sampling or anything or click tracks or.
It's literally everything is on our pedal boards.
Yeah, I mean Tim, our drummer,
he's got triggers on his drums,
so he'll play like a clap. Like there'll be like drum sounds, like a clap or like a. That's what he uses, isn't it? It's a clap.
Nice.
The clap, but nice. There's no sounds. Like we just try and same with vocally. Like there's an effects box. We want to create like an octave lower on the voice and make something kind of like distorted or a man voice or a robot voice. It would make sure we can do it live. So that's very important to the Nova Twin sound.
And that's kind of the best way to do it. Cause I mean, like I said, I've played live before. I mean, and I've, you know, been forced to use click tracks and it screws me up.
Yeah, I think our drummer's on a click track.
He plays to a metronome beat, like to make sure everything's just cause we've got certain tempos. We want work for certain songs. Do you know what I mean?
But we don't have one.
But not specifically for, like, I don't know, for like a...
No. We'd be a nightmare or something, if we had a
sample. It's nothing for that. It's just for keeping it sweet.
Now, Baseline Bitch, or not Baseline Bitch, but Nova Twins has been around for a few years now, right? You guys are starting to get your beaks wet in the music scene. Do you still feel, or do you feel that it's still kind of like a man's game, or do you think it's becoming more equal, I guess you could say?
Well, we've been together for a year and a half. Yeah, and when we first started, a lot of people did ask us funny questions, like,
what did they ask you? Like, do you write your own riffs? Or like, we're like, what? Yeah.
Yeah, like, why would you ask us, do you write your own riffs? You wouldn't ask anybody else that.
No, it's really strange.
But, do you write your songs? Yeah.
Are you serious?
But, like, recently we felt like it's quite, I don't know, we get a lot of respect live and things.
Yeah.
But, we know there's definitely a struggle for female musicians out there, and we do it to, like, empower women up an instrument, as well as guys too. And
I think we just don't want to see it as a gender thing. The day it stops being about you're a female band and you're a male band, that's when we know we've achieved something.
We just want to be seen as a band.
Just a band, you know, and that's what, how we go out there. Like, it doesn't matter whether we've got, like, if we're fucking women. Sorry, can I swear?
It's
going
in a magazine.
Oh, it's going in a magazine.
Now, why do you think...
Whether we've got, like, I don't know, like, dicks or vaginas, it doesn't really matter. It's just, we're just a band.
Well, why do you...
music we love.
Why do you think that is? Because I've never understood the point of that. And maybe, I don't know, maybe it's because my first guitar teacher was named Laura Anderson, and the first thing she ever played for me was Eruption, and she did it pitch perfect. You know, so maybe I'm like one of the, I don't know if I'm one of the rare breeds that don't look at gender, but I see it a lot. I see it a lot. And I've seen other female groups get asked the same stuff, like what you just said. And it just boggles the mind. I mean, why do you think that is?
I think the industry, that there's a perception in the industry, isn't there, that the women should be the pop stars behind a microphone. The producer is the male who writes the song. There's this whole strange perception. And then what happens is young girls are forced to grow up to think, oh, actually, I should be a singer. There's not enough. Girls can't see it and they can't be it. Mm. Do you know what I mean? So on the TV screen, if they're just seeing people, I don't know, like twerking on the mic, then they're going to think, oh, that's what I have to do to be sexy. Or that's what I have to be accepted or successful. And you know what, that's fine if you truly want to do that, because people out there with a voice and they don't know what to do with it. So yeah, it's good, hook up for a producer who can find your sound, that's great, but it doesn't have to be that way. And you know, other people should feel inspired by a lot of different things. So I feel like we want to push that out to other girls to think, you know, like, you don't just have to be the singer,
you can
pick up the bass, you know. Don't let anyone tell you any, like, different, you know. So we just want to push that. But again, like, we do have a lot of male, actually, fans who come up to our gigs and really enjoy the set. So we appreciate their support, as well as the female support out there as well. So we just want to, it's all love. It's all love, man.
Now, what is a Nova Twins live show like? Like if I were to go to your next gig, what would I expect?
Oh, you see some ugly faces, which is like usually mine. I pull some crazy faces. George is like bringing some crazy sounds. I mean, like, literally ear splitting, heart vibrating sounds. I mean, it's pretty intense and in your face, but it's good fun. You're gonna come and you're gonna move and
you should feel empowered when you leave. Yeah. Hopefully,
you feel like you take on the world after that. We don't write about love or heartbreak.
Like, people come to us like, oh, I just broke up with my partner, but like, I feel so much better now.
Because
I expect to go into a club, like, and if I were to, like, you know, be able to fly over there and see you guys, like, I actually think my first words would be like, holy shit, you know. you know, like seriously, like, I picture you guys like all over the place, like not just like on the stage, but musically.
Yeah, we do create some big sounds.
Yeah,
hopefully we'll come to you one day, you know what I mean?
Yeah, we hope to be placed, like, whether it's in a festival or played in a club, like, because we're kind of crossing between that, like,
urban, punky vibes.
Yeah, that we feel like hopefully we can just cross the genres and, you know, lots of people get into it and accept it and, you know, just kind of have fun with it.
Yeah. Now your sound is all over the place, you know, all over the spectrum, I would say. I mean, you guys have elements of hip hop, EDM and punk and rock and it's all, you know, and it's not programmed. I mean, which makes it even better. I mean, because it shows that there's heart in the music. So that leads me to ask who your influences are musically.
It's very eclectic.
It's very eclectic. I mean, I grew up listening to all sorts of things from like Stevie Wonder, Donny Hathaway to like N.E.R.D.
Yeah,
I mean, Skepta,
like, the Raconteurs. Like, I love Jack White's vocals. I like vocalists who like kind of manipulate the voice. People like Kate Bush, Jack White, and like Marina Diamond, like Gwen Stefani, and who else? I mean, chill to James Blake and Janae,
Melody Gardot. I mean, it's just so much different stuff.
Missy Elliott, Georgia, you into the old school Timbaland beats and stuff like inspires your bass lines.
So it's definitely a tricky one to pinpoint. We wouldn't pinpoint one person because we wouldn't want to replicate anyone anyway. Like, we're so eclectic. I think that comes out in our music.
I actually hear some old school punk in there, like, you know, The Clash and stuff like that too.
Oh yeah, like New York Dolls and things like that. MC5 and, you know, I was kind of you go through phases, I think, because you especially in music, because you meet so many different people. Like, you're gonna find one band, we've got loads of like musician friends, and they'll be like, oh, like, you're just passing on music and stuff, but like, there's this new artist we're liking called like Georgia, and then Slaves and things like that. There's just so much FKA Twigs, and there's so many like so much music about. You can't just be in one genre. That's boring.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that goes along with what we were talking about earlier with how females are often portrayed in music. But I mean, I also think genres are portrayed that way too. Like, people are, you know, like, I always find it interesting when, like, you hear, like, so, you know, like, somebody that's, like, into EDM, like, talk about Nirvana, you know, and things like that. So.
Yeah. Exactly. And I think it's not just in music, though. It's in our culture today, you know, and it's getting better. But people like to categorize things and put things in boxes and things because I think they feel safe that way. And I think people feel like once they've crossed and they've merged the lines, that they don't know what's going to happen. What mix is that going to be? Oh, they feel out of control. So I feel like sometimes it's good just to let go and, you know, take on the new and embrace difference. Do you know what I mean? Because that's what life's about.
Now, do you think it's getting better? Because I still see where people are stigmatized, you know. And I remember back, like, you know, giving away my age, back in like 1989, a band named Living Color came out, and they were like the most, to me at the time, the coolest rock band ever. But the MTV was talking about, well, they're African Americans, you know, they're not you know, they're not hip hop artists, they're actually rock artists. And I was like, you know, and it was kind of like, so what, man? I mean their stuff rocked, you know. I mean,
yeah, and that's even kind of happens to us. Like, people will say, like, oh, are you an R&B girl band?
Yeah, because we're just girls of color.
Colored and girls. So I think that still happens.
It still happens today, but I think what I've noticed, like, when I was like the 11, I grew up in this town called like Essex, and there was like it was mainly kind of white at first, and I was like one of the only kind of mixed girls there, and then as I kind of grew up, it got more mixed and versatile, and, you know, people mixing together. And so there is light out there, but I feel like the media portrays the worst out of people. So, and that's all you're seeing again. That's all you think. You know, there are people out there who are, you know, just not seeing it for color or segregation or where you're from, you know, and things like that. So I kind of want to shed light on the people who are doing that, like, and the people who are embracing different culture and, you know, different mixing genres, music, mixing it up, because that's what we're about. You know, we're both mixed. We both come from different sides of our family. And, you know, it's great. It's amazing. You get the best of both.
Well, do you think it's coming to the point where with the millennial generation that those days are numbered, and that there's going to be a point where it doesn't matter who or what group somebody's in or anything, that groups and classifications will just go out the window and anybody can make anything they want at that point?
We hope so.
We'd like to think so. I feel like we've still got a battle on our hands, but you just got to keep striving for what you believe in, really, you know. I mean, there's always going to be them people out there, them crazy people who think they're more superior, or because they've got this, or they look like this, and, you know, that's just the hierarchy. That's just our system, isn't it? How people generally, I don't know, portray things in this world. It's crazy. The more you think about it, it was so mind-boggling. I just feel like just keep striving for the good. Keep pressing on.
Now, do you know what's funny? Like, I had a conversation like that with a friend of mine about a week ago about people who think they're superior. And one conclusion we came to, I want to know your opinion on this, is that as far as output themselves, the people that throw that dribble out there, you know, that let everybody know that they're superior, actually don't come up with much creatively.
Oh no, not really. It's just the money, which is hollow. You know, I think people sometimes think, oh, we're superior. Is it a money thing? Is it a culture thing? Is it what you've been told in history? I don't know. What is it?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, if you notice, the people who produce the most and are the most successful aren't the ones that say they're superior. And that's in any walk of life, not just music. I mean, like if you listen to interviews with like Bill Gates and Mark Zuckerberg, I mean, they're pretty humble. Mm. You know, they talk about how stuff could be improved.
Because they see forward to the future because they're creating new things all the time.
Forward thinking people.
It's people that think back and they don't, they're quite small minded that do these things, I reckon.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, and in music, if you know, Paul McCartney would be an example. He really doesn't compliment himself at all.
It's like the fact
that he was in the Beatles almost means nothing to him. He's like, well, I'm just glad that people, you know, like their music.
Yeah. I mean, humble. I mean, some people can remain humble. It depends what type of person you are, I guess. So what you can take on. Some people let things, I mean, I can't talk for every people. I mean, sometimes I sit there trying to think of all the answers to the question, but I don't bloody know.
Exactly.
I don't know. And I think if you try and figure it out, you just end up driving yourself insane. I think if you just, you know, just be humble, you know, do what you do, go on about how you want to go on about, and as long as you're not hurting anyone and you're just doing what you love, that should matter, you know? Just keep pressing forward.
Exactly. So what are Nova Twins working on now musically?
New songs. We're in the studio in the beginning of September. So hopefully it'll be like an EP late of this year or early next year. And we're going to have a tour in October as well. We're playing a big venue in London called Coco next week, which we're really excited about for Club Enemy. So that should be really good.
Nice.
Spreading the Nova word.
Spreading the love. Spreading the love.
Yeah, then you guys are going to be playing, you know, like through September, right? Like at in Hartford, London, and so on and so forth, or...
Yeah.
We've been gigging a lot. We supported D12.
Not too long ago.
Nice. I mean, you know, and you know what? I mean, London is a competitive town, like you would not believe, too. So to get gigs at all in that town is a milestone.
Definitely. I mean, it's so spoilt for choice, London. I mean, everyone's in a band. Everyone plays the guitar. I mean,
it's the best for music, but also the worst for music.
Exactly.
So many venues, so many bands.
Nobody wants to, like, pay the bands. People are even paying to play sometimes. Like, luckily, we're not doing that. But, I mean, there are bands out there, bless them, who are buying their own tickets.
We used to do that.
We've done it before.
Yeah.
Like, once.
But, like, we learned from that. And I think bands shouldn't pay to play because they're meant to entertain.
Yeah, I think it's actually illegal now.
That actually happens a lot over here. Like your
work.
Oh yeah, especially when the headliner is a big band and they'll want to put like three or four opening acts, and then they'll say, oh yeah, look, we're nice enough to have local bands open up for us because we're for the people, you know, and then you find out that band paid like $2,000 to open up for them.
Oh yeah. People pay to go on tour with big people, they don't.
Yeah.
That's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's just backwards.
Oh yeah, and then the headliner won't even, you know, it's like they don't even remember the time that they were one time in the same spot that those opening bands were in.
Well, we can assure you when we're headlining our own shows, that ain't happening on our tour. That's for sure.
Exactly.
No way. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. So you say London is a, you know, pretty competitive town. What is the actual venue scene like there? I mean, like what? I mean, is it as hard as they say to get a gig? And like, are the venues diverse or?
No, I think you get loads of gigs in London.
Yeah, you can get loads. You can literally walk into like a venue and talk to a promoter.
Just be like, can we have a gig?
Yeah, like send them some music, like sweet.
Yeah. Cool. There's loads of gigs out there if you want them. I think whether they're good or not is the question. Whether they're a good promoter or not, it's what you will find out once you do the gig. I mean, me and Georgia have played like in different bands. Before Nova Twins, we've played gigs to literally like one person where the promoter hasn't done his job properly. And it's, you know, we've... tickets are on the door and no one's like turned up and it's
no
like
one knows
oh my god
about
no one knows about this gig
shit.
It's embarrassing, you know.
Yeah, because they don't know shit about social media or anything like that.
No,
yeah,
they don't.
I think you definitely have to be social media savvy as well.
Yeah, and then you kind of get a feel for the bad promoters and they do get a bit of reputation, but I feel sorry for the innocent bands who walk into their little bear trap and don't even know about it, because I think you're gonna have a bad gig tonight, guys.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, you do get good gigs in London.
It's strengthening anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, Nova Twins is currently an independent act, right? I mean, you guys are not signed to a major label yet or anything like that?
No, no label. We're signed to management, but not a label.
Okay. Of late, yeah, we just come under new management. It's really cool.
Well, the next,
they're lovely.
Well, the next question, I always get a different answer because I ask this of every band, and I've asked this with signed bands, and I've asked this with unsigned bands, and I never get the answer I expect. And what that question is like, say Virgin or CBS Records or, you know, or Capitol came to you and then offered you the standard first record contract, what would you do? Would you take it?
It just has to be them free.
So, well, that
any label.
Yeah. Well, but the first, what I mean by first standard or standard first record deal contract, those are pretty deceptive. You know, like like you might get a decent advance. You know, say like $50,000 or $100,000, but you gotta pay for your own studio time, and they're gonna nitpick. Mm-hmm. They're gonna nitpick. They will act. Some of them will actually or have actually nitpick to the point where they will come in there and say, "Okay, you know, Amy cut your hair, and Georgia stop wearing red lipstick." They will say stuff like that.
It'll be the other way around.
Yeah. But they will say stuff like that. They will take you to the store and then like pick your clothes out and make you pay for them.
We're not about that. But for one, like, we like to customize our own clothes, and we're quite like, we don't have like loads of money, so we're just kind of, We're used to not, you know, someone flashed a big check in our face. It doesn't really mean anything, because you hear about these artists who literally...
comes and goes.
Yeah, it comes and goes, and they're in debt, and then they get dropped. Mm. We'd rather have like a team around us who are just, you know, about the music.
And great management advising us about these things as well.
Yeah,
to protect
and support
us
around
things,
us.
Yeah.
Well, what if they did stuff like they sent in a guy and said, okay, this is Del James. He wrote all your new songs, and throw your old ones out.
No, that would be a no. That wouldn't happen.
That would defeat the point.
That wouldn't happen. That would be like, bye, see you later, love. Like, it's not about that. For us, it's not about a fancy record deal, because there's so many bands who are out there doing it without a record deal. If the right one came along and they were offering us something that was in our best interest, then obviously we'd look at it. But if it's not, then it's no. Mm. You know, we write our music. We're happy with what we do. We believe in what we do. You're either on board and you want to actually take this for, be on the long ride, or you don't. You know, to us, record label or no record label, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, and I think with new artists, with the choices out there, I mean, I think you could stay indie and get super mad rich and famous. I mean, there's artists that are out there now.
Yeah, there's more indie labels and that cater more towards the artists nowadays anyway.
Yeah, so many people going independently and like the band I know from the UK who did it without a record label, but selling out like Coco, Shepherd's Bush to thousands of people without a record label. I mean, this is on their own, just with a good booking agent. They're signed now, but for years they were just selling out like by themselves. And I was just like, wow, that's inspiring. Because you've done that literally just a good booking agent.
Well, and also if you notice too, there's artists that have been out there been on major label for 10, 20 years that are just the nanosecond their contract's up, they went indie. You know,
yeah,
I mean, well, Pearl Jam.
Yeah, but there's also some people who are on major labels and it's worked in their best interest. Also, I mean, it's always a gamble, isn't it, with these things? But you can't be that lucky anomaly and go in there thinking like that might be me, that you know, you need to think, be a bit more savvy.
Well, do you think it comes down to how much workload you want to take on yourself, maybe? Like, okay, I don't, you know, like, you'd rather concentrate on the creative side of it and then the you know, like, keeping the books in line and everything. I mean, all the tedious stuff, either let the record label handle that if you have a deal or hire somebody that you trust.
Yeah, I think it is important for us to know what, it's not just for us. Yes, we do handle the creativity side, but it's important to not us to know where our money's been spent, because we read like articles and things, and we hear about artists who they just let someone else take care of their supposed loan money, and then suddenly they're like, oh well, I don't remember paying for this, I don't remember paying for that, and they've got a big bill because they don't realize that it's coming out of their pocket. They think the record label's giving them the money, but no, that's your money, you know? And you're going to be in debt by the end of it if you're not interested in the business side. So we do have like a good circle around us. Again, like, George's parents are really musical and they've been there themselves. Our management team, obviously, they're great, we trust them. So we've got them around us, but we do like to know what's happening, whether it's to do with the business, creativity side, or how much we want to take on. Do you know what I mean? We're involved in everything, literally, what we want to portray.
Well, and that gets really tedious too, because, you know, like, well, when I was doing the band stuff in the 90s, man, every time you ate a sandwich, that was an expense.
You know? It's very boring, literally. Like, we're just about folding our burger and chips.
but it adds up.
We paid everyone. We're like, oh.
Exactly. But that stuff adds up. You might think, okay, well, $2 at McDonald's, which is what I would literally spend, like, $2 would get me a double cheeseburger and a medium Coke. I remember that exactly. You know, and that would tide me over. Yeah, and that would tide me over. But that $2, you know, times three times a day, times 60 days, you know, that's a few hundred bucks just for me.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, exactly. that stuff adds up. So, you know, it needs, you know, like, it pays to have somebody that will come in there and do the books and then say, those cheeseburgers, those are write-offs.
Yeah.
You know, because they're expenses, because they kept you alive to do your job.
Definitely. Yeah, well, I don't know. The McDonald's might later on down the line take its toll.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, it's a buy now, pay later, you know, type deal with that stuff. But
yeah, totally. It's just good to have a good support system and people you trust around you, really. I think without that, it would be a quite scary place.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Now, what does Nova Twins have coming up? I've been really, like I said, I asked for this interview because I was floored by Baseline Bitch. I thought it was great. And, you know, I mean, it was super hyper. So I'm dying to know what you've got coming up next. I know we talked about the EP, but what can we expect from the next song in the EP stylistically?
We really have some different pedals in there, different sounds coming up.
Yeah, newer songs. They're going to be not of the same style, but they'll be hard hitting and kind of punchy, and they're going to be that kind of motivational, kind of in your face tunes. But there'll be a visual with it, whether it's a video.
We'll probably make it ourselves.
Yeah, we'll make our video ourselves again and see how that turns out. And we're excited about it. We're definitely excited about it because obviously we gave people a little taster. We've only got one song up there at the moment. So it'd be interesting for people to see how people react to the rest of the music, really. Like, if they continue feeling it.